with us today. We appreciate you being with us. We're missing quite a few of our regular folks, if you will, of holiday season. Many are traveling. We understand that, and we just miss them and look forward to having them back with us in the near future. I appreciate Mike mentioning the forthcoming seminar we're going to be doing on parenting in a media-filled world coming up on January 28th. That's only 4 weeks from now on Sunday. It's going to be Sunday morning Bible class period, Sunday morning worship sermon time, and also Sunday night service will be dedicated to that seminar. Out in the foyer on the table near the entrance, you'll find some small mini flyers. They look like this. Mike put those together for us. Looks very nice. It helps us publicize this, because this is an event just not for members of our congregation, but for our family members and friends, particularly those who have children, teenage years, or in that vicinity, or even preteens. This is not a media bashing seminar. This is how do we cope with the world we're in. We want to recognize dangers, yes, but we also need answers of how we deal with the world as it is, not just wishing for the way it was 50 years ago. So this is a seminar for helping us understand how we can approach with our children and our grandchildren appropriate use of media. That includes the internet, TV, etc. Brother Delton McGuire, who presents this seminar, has done about 100 of these in congregations across the country, and we're thankful that he'll be coming our way. So 4 weeks off. So besides this nice little mini flyer that you can pick up in the foyer, there are also these little business card size invitations. This has the same picture on it. I'm sure all of you in the back row can see that. But on the back, you'll also have the information of the seminar relative to the 28th of January. So look forward to that. Pick up a copy or two and take it with you. I would just keep one of those little business cards in your pocket or purse, or however that works for you. So when you're with somebody, a family member or a friend, and you're talking and you bring this subject up, you've got a little something that you can hand them, an invitation to join us on the 28th of January. This morning I'd like to share with you a lesson that is a New Year's Eve lesson. It's a resolution lesson. I don't know about you, but resolutions are hard to keep. They're easy to make, and it's hard to keep sometimes. You've probably heard about two people talking, and one was saying to the other, it was a December day. They said, you know, the first of this year, I made a resolution. I was going to lose 20 pounds. Well, how's it going? Well, I've only got 25 to go. That's like that sometimes, isn't it? Resolutions are difficult, but this morning I want to share with you a resolution that's a lot easier to keep than losing weight. And that resolution is to be in church. Now, you're here this morning, and I'm glad you're here this morning, but we all need to remember sometimes the importance of regular assembly in the Lord's body. There are 1,001 things you could be doing on a Sunday morning. You chose to be in church. I praise God for that. And we want to feed your spirit. But this morning's lesson is a reminder of why church attendance is important and why we need to be a part of the body of Christ on a regular basis. I want to remind you of a story I've told before, but it's powerful and I believe has a point. I want to bring back that memory. I was 23 years old, wet behind the ears, sixth grade school teacher. One of my students in class, his first name is Paul, his last name I will not give you. His father was an education professor at a local college. So here I was, just had a BA in elementary education at the time, and his dad has a PhD. Well, it's an EDD, which is a doctorate in education. He had a terminal degree in the field. He was a teacher, a professor in the college. And we needed to have a conference. He wanted to have a conference because his son's grades were down. So he comes in and talks with me. Well, what's going on with Paul? And here's a man who has a doctor's degree in education. And he says, you know, my son's a smart man. Yes, he is a smart young man. And he's made good grades in the past. And I said, yes, he has made good grades in the past. Well, why aren't his grades as good as they used to be? And I had to tell that gentleman, well, there was a little issue that came up this quarter. You see, Paul was absent for about 4 weeks of the curriculum. That's a good portion of the quarter. He missed our instruction time. And I know he was enjoying going to Europe with you and your wife, but he missed instruction time. And when you miss class, you don't get it all. And he said, but going to Europe was an educational experience for Paul. I said, absolutely it was an educational experience for Paul. But guess what? He missed some English, and he missed some math, and he missed some reading, and he missed some spelling, and he missed some class time while he was in Europe. You see, you cannot just say that the class doesn't matter. Well, Paul came back to class on a regular basis, and there were no more extended trips, and Paul's grades went back up to A's and maybe a few B's, and everything was fine. And the moral of the story is we need regular attendance in school. And you know that, don't you? When your kids get up for class in the morning, get ready to go to school, you don't look at them and say, well, do you want to go to school today, little Susie? You don't say, Tommy, do you want to go to school today? No. You say you are getting up and you are going to school. Now, why do you do that? Because you're such a mean parent, right? Because you know your children need that push out the door in order to get the education. And they need it regularly and often and consistently. And brothers and sisters, the same is true in the Lord's kingdom. We need to be in church. We need to be in Bible class. We can't just do a hit or miss thing, or your grades spiritually are going to look like that Paul's grades looked. I was a student of mine many, many years ago. Parents, I suggest for you this rule of thumb. You don't let your kids miss school on a regular basis just because. Don't let them miss church just because. Your kids need to be in church. They need their Bible classes. They need to worship. I understand there's sometimes you will miss services. If you're sick, don't come, okay? We don't want you to spread your flu. We don't want that. And you don't need to be here. But the irony is this. Sometimes we forget how important what goes on here is. Time with God, time with fellow Christians, time to put our logs back in the fire, if you will, and let the fires of faith burn more brightly. And that's why we're here, and that's what we're about. You see, you don't just tell your kids, well, you go to church if you want to any more than you tell your kids you can go to school if you want to. When our kids were growing up, we wanted them to see going to church was just as important as going to school. Now, during the teenage years, now this is just something that we did. You don't have to copy what we did, but I'll just share what we did. You know, there are a lot of activities that kids have in their teenage years, and sometimes they take place on Sundays and Wednesdays, unfortunately. There were band concerts on Wednesday night. You know, there were a couple of band trips on weekends, things of that nature. And rather than arguing with our maturing teenage kids every time that, well, should we go to this or should they go to church, here's what we said. I believe it was three cuts a year we gave them, three church cuts, and said, okay, you get three cuts a year, Sundays and Wednesdays. You decide how you're going to use them. When something comes up like this, there's a band trip on a Sunday, there's a band concert on a Wednesday night, you keep track of them. And they did it. And you know, they never used all their cuts. That was the good news. They were able to develop that sense of discipline on their own. Now, I wouldn't do that with your fifth grader. But you can do that with your older teenagers and help them develop that sense of self-discipline. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That includes what we do at home, but it also includes what we do at church. Let me be a little bit more personal. I am a Christian because my mom was a believer in Jesus. When I was growing up, my father was not a Christian. He was a good moral man, but he was not a Christian. And my heart goes out to the families that are what I call split faith families, where one mate is a Christian and one is not. Those are some hard families in which to make decisions and to guide situations. But mom's faithfulness to Christ and the fact that she put going to church as a regular priority in life is why I'm standing before you this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for her example and her persistence, if she'd been given in all the time, I would not be standing here this morning in front of you as a believer in Christ. You see, when I was growing up, we never questioned where I'd be on Sunday morning. Even on vacation, my dad would sit out in the car in the church parking lot and listen to the radio, and Mom and I would go in church on Sunday morning, even on vacation. We were a one-car family, and Mom had negotiated. Dad could take the car fishing or anything he wanted to do on Saturday, but Sunday was her time to go to church, and we did it Sunday morning and Sunday night. I went Wednesday night too. And so you may ask yourself, well, was it important? It was. Because attending services gave me a spiritual foundation, showed me the priority that spiritual things have in life. Now, that's not the whole issue of just showing up and coming to church, but it's such a key issue, it cannot be ignored. You will not maintain faith apart from regular assemblies with Christians. You won't. Some folks say, well, I'm going to be a lone ranger. You know, I'm going to be my Christian faith on my own. I don't need the church. I don't need the Bible classes. I don't need to go to worship. I don't need Christian fellowship. I'll just do it on my own. I remember some people saying, you know, I don't need to go to class. I can learn history on my own. There's a book I can read. I can go to the internet. I don't need to go to history class. I can learn it on my own. The question is not can you, the question is do you? Do you going to learn history on your own? Well, you can. But how many of us do? The discipline of the fellowship of a class helps you learn American history. Just like the discipline of the church meeting together helps us learn God's teaching and God's way. Someone says, well, what, can't I pray at home on Sunday and all that? I'm not going to go into those arguments because here's the bottom line. The question is not can you, but do you? That is the question. And that is what tells us the need for the assembly. Because we're weak on ourselves. But we put our logs back in the fire and we have strength together. Many years ago, the British press had a debate going about the value of religious services. Many people were writing into the editor saying, oh, I've heard a lot of sermons. I can't remember any of them. Just going to church is a waste of time. And others said, no, I think we ought to be in church. And there was a debate in this British press for many, many years, back and forth. And you know what happened? It was finally settled by a gentleman who wrote in this letter. To all those of you who say you cannot remember a single sermon that you've ever heard, let me offer this. He says, I've been married for a lot of years now. I think it was 40-some years. My wife has cooked me meals, probably about 30,000 of them. I couldn't tell you the menu of any one, but they have sustained me. And that's what it does when we come together in the body of Christ, doesn't it? It sustains us. It builds our faith. It encourages us, and it sustains us. I don't care if you remember the menu. I can't even tell you what I preached on 4 or 5 weeks ago. I don't expect you to remember every sermon I preach, but I hope they feed your faith. I hope they bring you closer to God. I hope they connect you to Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is why we need to be in church. And by the way, isn't it good to be in church instead of hearing the preacher preached on church attendance when you weren't here? There you go. There you go. So this morning I'm asking you to make a New Year's resolution. A resolution to make church attendance a part of your regular schedule on a regular basis. Not hit or miss, not occasionally, not when I wake up and feel like it, but it's on my calendar. You know what? If you're a regular believer in Christ and a regular attender in church, I'll bet you don't even put church on your day timer. Because you know what time services are. It's just in your mind. You know, I'm going to be here for Bible class at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be here for worship at 10:50. I'm going to be back Sunday night at 6. I'll be here Wednesday at 7. That's in your mind, isn't it? You don't even have to put it on your day timer. Let me tell you, if you're not active in a service and you want to become active, and we want you to, here's what I want you to do. If you want to start coming on Wednesday night for Bible class, put it on your day timer for 3 months. Right in every week, 7 o'clock, Wednesday, Bible class. Put it on your day timer. then it'll develop a habit. After 3 months, I don't think you'll have to put it on your day timer anymore. It'll be your habit, and it'll be one that you have chosen because you appreciate it. Now, let's have a little fun with this. Did you know that church is one of the safest places to be? Riding in a car is responsible for about 20% of all fatal accidents. 17% of fatal accidents occur at home. 14% of fatal accidents occur to pedestrians, so don't walk too much. And a number of accidents occur in rail and air and water transportation. And by the way, did you know that 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals? So at all costs, avoid hospitals. But did you know that only 1/1000th of 1% of deaths occur in a religious assembly? You're in the safest place right here you could ever be. And if God happens to call you home, wouldn't it be nice to be at the gates of heaven having come from worship service instead of having skipped church that day? Now that was the fun part. But let's talk about some serious earthly reasons, not just heavenly, but earthly reasons for attending church. A study of eighth graders found that church activities buoy self-esteem in teens. Here's what one scholar said: religious involvement appears to have the largest impact on how early adolescents evaluate themselves, how they see themselves. If we preach and teach a godly worldview, we believe God has the best worldview, amen? So if we teach and preach a godly worldview and our teens begin to pick it up, they're going to be healthier personally, spiritually, in their minds, psychologically. That quote, by the way, was released from the American Psychological Association, not always a friend of Christianity. Marianne Caring wrote, "Do you want to feel great in the morning? Keep your marriage together. Do you want to have a satisfying relationship with your spouse? Religion has a lot to do with it," says scientific researchers. Here are some details. Levin and Vanderpool reported in 22 of 27 studies, the more a person went to church, the better his or her health. How about that? David Larson's research indicates that churchgoers have less risk for heart disease, they recover from burns faster, have lower blood pressure, and stay out of the hospital more than those who don't worship. But of course, religion's impact goes beyond simply the physical. We know that. And it goes beyond the moral behavior, as important as that is. Did you know if a man and his wife in the pew adhere to biblical morality and they didn't cohabit prior to marriage, they have a much better chance of staying together than a couple that lived together before marriage? God's way works best. We learned that in church, didn't we? Folks that attend church even just once a month have an increased chance of staying married over those who don't. But again, the more you're involved in religious services, the better the chance that your relationships will be healthy. That's what research says. So what have I said this morning? Common sense indicates that regular worship attendance and Bible classes feed us, and we need the regular feeding. The Bible commands us not to forsake assembling of ourselves together. The passage that Stephen read earlier, let us now consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Thirdly, we've seen that even scientific, sociological, and physiological research has borne out that Christian faith correlates with greater mental and physical health. And some say, well, yeah, but I can pray it without going to church. Yes, you can. But remember, just because you can doesn't mean you will. By coming together, we force ourselves in the good habit of remembering God. So the question is, what are you and I going to do? A new year's upon us. What changes will we make in our schedules? What appointments with the Lord do you need to write on your day timer until they become so ingrained in your habits that you don't even need to write them down? Put Bible class in your day timer. Put worship on your day timer. Put Wednesday night on your day timer. And see what God does. Earlier, I shared with you a little bit about my mom. It's her faithful example, not just her in attendance, but in Christian living, that I'm a Christian. Mom's been in heaven since 2004. But I know there were times when I was growing up, going to church was a struggle for her. Remember, she was a Christian and my father was not. She would get me up and get dressed and get the car from my dad and leave my dad in order to go to church. In her latter years, she couldn't drive and she had to struggle and use a walker and she had to depend on someone else to get her to church, but she went to church as much as she could. She's enjoying the face of God. And she would be the first to remind each of us that the destination is worth the journey. Then somebody says, Mark, do I have to attend, is the way I'd say it. People will say, Mark, do you have to attend Sunday night and Wednesday night? My mom made sure I was in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's contributed to my faith. I understand there's no biblical verse that says you have to do Sunday night and Wednesday night. I understand that. But let me tell you something. Our brother Cunningham has done a little research on Lassen Street, our congregation. He looked back at the teenagers raised here over a number of years. How many are faithful to Christ and how many are not faithful to Christ? And you know what his research found? He found only one teenager who was not a part of the Wednesday night Bible classes. Just came on Sunday morning. Only one teenager who was not a part of Wednesday night Bible classes is a faithful adult Christian, to the best of our knowledge. One. That says volumes. You see, I could have looked at that PhD gentleman who taught education and said, you know, it doesn't matter for your son to be gone from class because, hey, I know he's getting a good education. He's seeing all that beautiful artwork in Europe and he's having all these experiences and you're teaching about history and that's wonderful. And we teach our children many things outside this assembly. I understand that. But there's nothing that takes the place of being in the assembly of the saints and being in Bible classes with other believers. We need that assembly. We need the classes. We need the encouragement of being together. The pull of the world is strong. We must make the pull of Christ stronger than the pull of the world. Our children's destiny depends on it. This sermon has been meant for Christians, but it's equally important for all to see their need of Jesus. For Christians, we got to plug in again week after week, time after time, because I need to have my fire rebuilt, my fire rekindled. But if you're not yet in Christ, you need to be in Christ. Coming to church is great. It's important. But the time comes that we have to say yes to Jesus Christ. Because coming to church alone will not take anyone to heaven. On that day of judgment, God will not look at the books and go, well, I see you were in church 39,000 times. That's not going to save anybody. What will save you is being in the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of your sins by Him. If you're not yet in Christ, you need to be. You can start this new year as a child of God. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can be cleansed of your guilt. You can stand before God not on the basis of your supposed goodness, but on the basis of God's grace through His Son Jesus and His blood, and know that you're right with God. And that's what happens when you become a Christian, is Jesus takes the sin away and you are freed from that sin and you no longer stand guilty before God. And if you're not in Christ, why not get in Christ? Start the new year as a child of God and resolve to append and participate, that your faith will be fed. Let's stand together and let's sing.